This is the Cleveland Browns Report, delivered exclusively on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns Media Network.
Hello and welcome to the Cleveland Browns Report. I'm Jameer Howerton. With the 2013 NFL Draft just hours away, the Browns are gearing up for one of the most anticipated weekends of the year. Early this week, the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, had an opportunity to talk with Browns CEO Joe Banner about the team and this year's draft.
Joe, here we go. The NFL draft is here. It's a very, very exciting time of the year for everybody in the NFL and most certainly for the fans. What is it like for you? I am sure it's the accumulation of a lot of work.
It's the same thing. I'm very exciting. A little nerve-wracking, too, especially as you kind of zero in on who you'd like to get and, you know, not knowing how that's going to all play itself out. But a very, very exciting time. I mean, this is what you're in it for. This is the kind of putting together the pieces and, you know, trying to be as smart as everybody else and get it right and make our team better.
So having done what you did in free agency, which was a lot, it was quick, it was assertive, and it was, you know, specific to what you needed. I mean, when you end up with Kruger and Bryant and Groves, and you get a couple of cornerbacks that can go in and play, a couple of tight ends that can go in and play, right up until the point where you make the trade with the Eagles for Deion Lewis, does that really make the draft even more crystal clear about still what you need?
You know, we've tried to stay focused on what we think are the keys to building a long-term successful team as opposed to what are our needs for this season. And I think, you know, in seeing who we signed, you can probably make some guesses as to what we think are the most important areas to drive long-term success. So we're going to try to stay focused on the areas that we think are the kind of the foundation of a really good team as opposed to making sure every need is filled for this season. So our fans are probably going to see some holes in the roster for this year. And we're not oblivious to that, but we're going to focus on what we think should be the foundation to the successful team we're going to build over time.
So right now you sit at number six in the first round, and I guess we'll get our first gauge at what you're all about in draft philosophy, whether you stay at six, whether you move. The general outline, though, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, it seems to be this. In the draft, if you go up, it's expensive. If you go down, you're accumulating things. You hope you can get a player down there that you could still get maybe up higher, but you're also accumulating picks. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, and listen, I think that history says that you're better off having more picks. But obviously there are situations that you better judge individually as opposed to kind of making some general statement about it. You're going to make a mistake. So, for example, if at six there's a really elite player sitting there and we bypassed him to get some extra picks, we'll look back and think we made a very bad decision. On the other hand, if there's just a very good player there and we had an opportunity to pick up a group of picks that let us get a number of good players, you know, you'd like to seize that opportunity. So it really starts with the evaluation. It's just how big a difference is the player you could get going to make.
So how good would you say the draft is overall? How would you look at it?
I think this is a good draft. I mean, I know that's a little contrarian thing to say right now. And I think that's just because, you know, you're not sitting there with some superstar quarterbacks that are obvious top picks. You're not sitting there with a pass rusher or big Calvin Johnson-type receivers that are so conspicuous and exciting, both to the teams and the fans. But you're sitting with a number of players at the top of this draft that we evaluate as Pro Bowl caliber players. They just don't play the positions that are as kind of exciting as the others. And then there's a decent amount of depth in the draft. So we view it as a strong draft, and we view six as a very valuable asset.
So if you were a team that needed offensive line help, defensive line help, is this a good draft for that?
A very, very good draft.
That's where it is, huh?
This is one of the best drafts if you're looking for linemen now, especially in the first round. It thins out and gets a little bit wider as you go through the draft. But if you're talking the first round, the front end of the draft, and you're looking for linemen, you're in very good shape.
Joe, is there buzz leading up to the draft as we sit right now, and I know we're a little bit away from it, but as we sit up to it right now, is there buzz about movement, either up or teams interested in going down?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation. To be honest, some of it will turn out to be nothing, just a little chatter, even within the teams. But the groundwork for whatever will end up happening is being laid now. So you're kind of having preliminary conversations with teams, talking about philosophically, you're interested in moving up or down, kind of what are you thinking about, not just in the first round, but through the draft. Those seeds, those conversations will lead to somewhere in the next 4 or 5 days, much more serious conversations with some preliminary deals laid out depending upon who's available at what pick, and then probably in most cases not actually happen until you're into the draft itself.
So the people that cover the draft day to day lead up to it, and they write this or they talk about this. The Browns have talked to a lot of quarterbacks, and that is so interesting. If that's true, why are you talking to quarterbacks? Is it just a due diligence type of thing?
Well, it's both. I mean, you know, you I think you'd be foolish not recognize the most important position on a football team is your quarterback.
Right.
It's not even close. There's not even a second in the same area. So you don't want to go into any draft where you don't feel like you've done every piece of work to make sure there isn't some quarterback that is going to be end up being really good that you missed on. I don't even care if you're a really good team that has a really good quarterback. I mean, having two really good quarterbacks is a very valuable asset. So we would do this in every, you know, single draft. We're doing every piece of due diligence we can on the most important position. Now, sometimes that will lead to us deciding there's not somebody good enough to make us better. Let's look in a different direction. But it's only in doing the due diligence you can make that conclusion. You could also get into the due diligence, some of these workouts, and say, you know what, this guy's a lot better than we thought he was. He has a lot more upside, and then he becomes more relevant on your board.
So let's go to this now. People will look at the Browns' draft status right now, and they'll say there's a hole in the second round because they went to the supplemental draft last year and ended up with Josh Gordon. Let's get back into the second round, I assume. Easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easier said than done, and you got to be careful because it would be great to have all of our picks. Mm-hmm. But if you end up skewing your thought process in a direction, you can lose your objectivity. And I think that's when you can make a mistake. You really want to just stay very focused on the sixth pick is an asset. What's the most value we can get for this asset? Is it just picking at six? Mm-hmm. Is it trading back and getting a second-round pick or a third-round pick or a pick next year? What is the way we can turn that sixth pick into the biggest benefit to the Browns is the way you have to think about it and not get stuck on, gee, how nice it would be to have a second-round pick. It may be that that's what happens, but if you're trying to drive it there, you could miss out on the opportunity of something better.
Will you play scenarios? Will you play mock drafts? This is what they're going to do.
Well, we'll do it more in, we'll do a lot of research and a lot of phone calls to try to figure out who will be picked in the five picks in front of us between now and next Thursday. And frankly, by Thursday, we'll have a pretty good idea before we actually get in the draft who those five picks will be.
Joe, how do you say when you walk out of the draft, when it's finally over, on that Saturday evening, when it's finally over, before you attack all the free agents, the guys that don't get drafted, what basically, in general outline form, do you want to come out of this with?
Well, you know, it's not a philosophical answer. I mean, we have some specific names. If you said, what's your wish list of who you'd really like to get in the first round, the third round? I mean, we do have that wish list. We'll deny it after the draft, but I promise you we have that wish list. You know, so there's some certain names, you know, some names that, you know, we don't know if they'll get to us at six or if they'll get to us at 68 and, you know, going right down through the draft. Some of them we think we have a very good chance of them being there when we pick. Some of them we'd have to get a little lucky, in our opinion, and have a few teams that could possibly pick them, pass them up. So the ideal scenario for us is a list of very specific names that we're hoping would fall to us at certain picks.
Did the fact that you came here and there were still 10 games left to go when you were finally announced in your position with the Browns, and so you had 10 games really to get a good look at that roster, has that helped you even more so than if you arrived at the end of the season last year?
Well, it helped me a lot in this sense. We're putting a very big emphasis on really driven players, competitive players, physical players, smart players. So I got a real good chance to really know firsthand on the existing roster who met that part of the criteria. You can watch the film after the season. You can evaluate the players. It's a little harder when you're not here and meeting them and watching them practice and talking to them to evaluate who has those kind of intangible traits. So in that sense, that was very helpful.
Last question, and that is that these kids that are up for the draft, they've been measured. They have gone by clocks. They've run 40s. They've run in between bags. They've done everything. They've been quizzed on things. They've been interviewed and everything like that. But how do you guys come up with the football part of it? That maybe he didn't run a fast 40, but on game day, he's going to look awfully quick and get to the right spot.
I mean, most of this is film evaluation, which is why getting scouts and general manager and assistant general manager who are really good evaluators is so important, because there's not much difference. And it's a little subtle thing, maybe in their drive, it has nothing to do with what you're seeing on the field, to be great, that differentiates two players that you may be looking at very similarly. And one of them, you look back, would have been a great pick, and one was a bad pick. And you're just torn between the two. So it really comes down to watching the film, projecting the players from the film into what you're going to use them to do and how well you think they'll be able to do it.
The film doesn't lie.
Doesn't lie.
Joe, good luck.
Thanks very much. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.